She's in Baltimore.
Okay, so she's in Maryland.
Right.
That's safe, right?
It's a Tennessee.
Okay, so in that wonderful state of Maryland, which is where the convention was, if any of you didn't go, next year you can come. Well, no, forget it. It's not there next year.
No.
Never mind. Forget
Gettysburg's
that.
Super close
yes,
to Maryland.
Yes, it's Gettysburg.
It's
so that's
like right on the other side.
Well, it's close to here, too. But anyway, never mind on that.
It is,
absolutely. So anyway, without any further ado, before we start chatting and forget about it, Maria.
Forget about it.
Where should we put this?
I don't know. Is it recording? Oh, great. Wow. Yay, that's right. You all made a very good choice asking me to come. I'll just say that. Good thinking, Jenny. Good thinking, Lisa. Hi, I'm Powerless Over Food. My name is Maria.
I'm Maria.
I don't think I'm supposed to say that on here. So I will just say a couple of things. My abstinence date is June 1st, 2004. Please have a seat. I've given away about 180 pounds. My top weight was 360 pounds. So I'm in good company. It's always interesting to hear the range of people that some of us, it takes a little bit longer to get. We had to get knocked on the head a little harder than others before we show up. But I use my last name. There's a couple of funny stories about that. One, there's a man who I really enjoy listening to. He does big book retreats all across the country. Actually, all across the world. His name is Lori C. And he always gives his whole name and says, you know, if you come to my town and visit, how are you going to know where to look me up? Before we had cell phones, right? I don't even know if my number's in the phone book. So, you know, it's good to know where people are when you can find them in Laurel, Maryland, if you ever come to Laurel, Maryland. But another one I think is kind of funny. There's this thing in AA going around called the Woodstock of AA, and they have these speakers with 20 or 30 years. And there is this woman, and her name is Polly Pistol, and she is a pistol. And she said, she talked about how we're not anonymous amongst ourselves. She said, it's really hard to go to the hospital and visit Salty Bob, you know? So I just, exactly, Salty Dog Bob or something. Like, how are you going to, you know, I don't think the nurse is going to know that one. So I thought that was really, I like that. Plus, I've had a few last names. I'm on my third one. So it's good. This will be my last, regardless of whether it works out. And I love my husband very much. I went from a B to a P back to a B. So this is the one that's going to stick. I'm not changing my name. Most of you, oh, Mike's not even here. So it is a beast to change your name, especially after September 11th. Like, I'm like, I'm not a terrorist. I just got married. So that's kind of a thing. So I just honestly, in all seriousness, thank you so much. This is a beautiful retreat. I was really stunned. I am not a decorative person or a visual, and I have put together, I've been facilitator for like four different retreats and then the convention, and decorations are always last, but I'm always really thrilled. Like, you guys had the little butterflies with the thing coming down. It's beautiful, and the welcome gifts, and you know, I don't go far beyond, you have a roommate, that's enough of an error to find who is supposed to be in what room, and, you know, everybody wants their own room all the time. It's like, come on. So I don't get much farther than that, so thank you so much, and thank you for making me feel so welcome. You guys have a good history together, that's clear, you're very close. I have to say my favorite thing is the accent. Thank you, Jenny. Oh my God. Thank you. Oh my God. Oh my God. I loved hearing Jenny last night. Exactly. What accent? I'm from Maryland. We have no accent. It's very boring. So it's so funny to be up here. What did someone say last night? Was that you this morning? We were walking and you said you'll do it and you'll like it. And I was just like, it was so funny. Like, I think we were walking and someone was, I don't remember, but you just don't say those things in the D.C. area. We're very politically correct. We don't step out. I mean, your governor, come on. He's like all, I mean, he is out there. He is real. He is real. And my family from a long time ago is from Bedford Stuy, from Brooklyn. And they, that's right. But they moved down because one of my uncles may or may not have been involved with the mafia. And apparently their phone lines, this is way before I was born, may or may not have been tapped, and there may not have been guns running through the house in Brooklyn. So my dad took a job down in Maryland. So eventually some of the family followed them, but we were safe. So I lived in Maryland for a little bit, but I actually really, I lived in Virginia for about 25 years. And that's where I got abstinent. So I got abstinent in the Northern Virginia area, and then my life took a huge turn of events, and that brought me back to Maryland. So I live in, I live right outside of the DC area in Prince George's County, which doesn't really matter. So my topic is living the solution. Not living in the solution, but actually living the solution. I was like, whoa. And it is from the book, the green book that's available in the back, A New Beginning, Stories from Relapse to Recovery. So yes, thank you. Look at that. So that was really interesting. So what I decided to focus on a little bit, since it was a story about relapse from recovery, from relapse to recovery, is a little bit about my relapse. It is most certainly does not need to be a part of everybody's story. It does, however, seem to be a part of a lot of people's story, which that's just how it goes, and we don't really need to debate that. That's okay. So just a really brief history. Like a lot of people, I was actually pretty young when I came in. I think I was like 18 or 19 years old. I just graduated from high school. I was about 280 pounds. And my mom sort of had this come to Jesus meeting with me when I was just kind of floating. I went to the community college. My grades, I went Catholic school till ninth grade. I did really poorly in ninth grade, and that set me on a different path. So my GPA wasn't so great. But I enjoyed the community college. I enjoy small. I do better in smaller settings. This is a really nice size retreat. We were talking about that this weekend. And my mom sort of had this come to Jesus with me, meeting with me when I was 19 and 280 pounds, saying, you know, kind of what's going on? You know, like, what are you going to do with yourself? And she had told me about OA. She had been in AA. And it didn't necessarily work for her. She didn't, but she told me about it. So my mom 12-stepped me. And I have my mom's hardcover, third edition, big book, which was, you know, it's all kind of tattered, but it's got her name and it's nice. And so I went to my first meeting. And for me, the first several years of my recovery was in the OA Howe rooms, which is fine. So my first meeting was in Woodbridge, Virginia, not to be confused with Woodbridge, New Jersey, in a Howe meeting. And I think the OA 12 and 12 had just come out because it was like 1994, 1995. And we read the first step, and I went, whoa. I'm not the only one who does that. There are other people that know where every 7-Eleven and every Quickie Mart is, and there are other people that throw their trash away to hide from everybody else, and there are other people that eat food out of the trash can. And that was really amazing, because there are people who come in and go, y'all are crazy, and it takes them a while to get back, and there are people that go, I am home. And I was an I am home. But I was young, and honestly, I don't really think, I know I didn't understand the steps. I know I didn't. And truth be told, at 19, I didn't do nearly the damage I did in my 20s. So that was good to have something to come back to and work the steps when I in turn came back and turned 28 years old. And so my grades got better, and I got into a four-year institution, and I went away to a place where there still aren't really a lot of meetings down in Harrisonburg, Virginia. And I forgot. And it was like 95, there were no cell phones, long distance was quite a bit. And I realized how much I needed a community. I'm really influenced by the people around me, and that it helps. I need to be that. I'm not an island. But I grew up with my father and mother. I have a wonderful relationship with them. My father is very much a but I am an island. You know, he's a bootstraps kind of guy. And I think that stuck with me, even though I didn't really want to admit it. So when I went to a four-year, I gained back, I lost, I don't know, 120, 130 pounds, but I gained it all back pretty fast. I think I gained the first 100 back the 2 years I was there, because I wasn't going to come home. It was a hard thing for my mom and I to separate, and it was something that I just needed to do, which I paid the price. In the meantime, I got married. I stayed in my parents' basement. I love telling the story because it took me a long time to really go, yeah, I lived in my parents' basement until they moved to Florida a long time, you know, like 8 years ago. So that started 10 years. of, I lived in Northern Virginia, and there are a lot of meetings in Northern Virginia. There was no shortage of recovery. There's still no shortage of recovery, but I never went back. And I decided that I was going to do, I don't know what I decided I was going to do. I don't remember. I just know I ate, and I ate, and I ate, and I wasn't going to diet because dieting didn't work for me. And I ate. And my ex-husband had also lost a lot of weight, and we sort of became buddies. That was how we connected, was just eating and eating and eating. But in the meantime, things went down and down and down. And I appreciated what Kim said about, as long as, I think it was Kim, or someone said, as long as I held on to my job, I'm okay. And so I had a job, and I hated it from the time I had it. And I just whined and complained and got fatter and fatter and fatter and ate more and more and more and couldn't get out of the house. I tricked myself to get out of the house by being able to go to McDonald's. And then I had a nice big meal, huge meal at lunch and a huge meal at dinner. And I appreciated what you said too about it does take a lot of work to stay overweight. Like, don't let that fool you. It's a lot of calories and a lot of work to maintain that and to go through that crazy of, I can't fit anymore. It's not fitting anymore. Getting up to 3X, 4X, knocking on 5X. So that was 10 years. And it wasn't until things really fell apart that I came back. I did not come back with a marriage intact. I came back with an ex-husband who, as far as I'm still not clear because he wasn't really honest with me or anyone else or himself, but there were things that he did that pretty much rivaled me checking out of life as far as I can tell. Like, I was not paying attention to him. I was always complaining about what he did wrong. Nothing I did was wrong. It was just him. So we ended up splitting up in 2003. We got married in 2000, still living in my parents' basement because I never wanted to let that go. And in 2003, I asked him to leave. And it still took a few months after that to really break off and really realize how wrong the marriage was. So I'm surrounded by my colleagues and I'm not doing a whole lot of anything. And it was the most random thing. I was working in an environment where back in 2004 is when the gastric bypass really started kicking back up. And I worked with a lot of people who had had the gastric bypass surgery, a lot. And my insurance wouldn't cover it. And I was really upset about that. But I'm grateful for me. I'm grateful that I didn't do it because I don't think it would have helped the rest of what I needed help with. And at the time, I had actually started exercising for my mental health because of what all the bad things that were going on with my ex-husband. It got into a legal battle. It was really not good. So I started exercising, and I was seeing a nutritionist who would say to me, why don't you just try being absent? And she was someone that knew a lot of people in program. She worked with a lot of people in program. And she would say, why don't you just try having one abstinent meal? And I was like, are you insane? Like, if I'm either going to have all abstinence or none. Like, she was really trying to help me. And I'm glad I had a lot of flexible spending account money to go see her. Because she really helped me. I needed that village. It takes a village. And I had cousins and my parents and a therapist and a nutritionist who were all trying to keep me afloat till I got back here. And so all these people were having gastric bypass. I couldn't have any. I didn't have it. And two really poignant things happened. One, the one woman who's a year younger than me who had an extreme version of it, which means she can eat whatever she wants and only absorbs half the nutrients. And yes, I was jealous about that. And yes, there are times I'm still jealous about that. I was complaining about something at work, and she said to me, do you know how negative you sound? And she said it in front of my whole team. And I just thought that was 11 years ago, 10 years ago, and I thought that was the meanest thing anyone could ever say to anyone. And now, I think it's the best thing anyone ever said to me. She was probably the only person who was honest enough to say, you have turned into a class A bitch. And the other thing is I was on my computer in my parents' basement. Let me just put that out there. Living in my parents' basement. Online, looking at, so make sure y'all have that, looking at ways to somehow fund one of the surgeries. And I was already in debt. I didn't know how I was gonna go into more debt. And this little voice that worked so hard to get out, said, why don't you just go back to OA? And I was like, wow. And I did. And that was in March of 2004. And I went back to a meeting that, you know, years later people were still at, and no one recognized me because I was a big girl. I was 360 pounds. And when I left, I was half that, if not more. And this one person came up to me and recognized my voice. And he, like, walked up to me and was like, I know you, you know? And it was like, whoa. And he's still one of my favorite people in the whole world. So that got me back. And like I said, for me, staying in the rooms where people were all doing the same thing was very helpful. I do not buy into the split between OA and OA How. How is a part of OA? It's not really up for discussion. I think we have much bigger issues in this disease. If you look around the room, we are all the same color. I think there's a lot of people out there. Heart disease is huge in the African American community, in the Hispanic community, the male population. That's important to me, to make sure everyone, no matter what they look like, knows we can help you. So I don't get into the drama of the OA and the OA How and blah, blah, blah. But it helped me, because I need a network. Because I will do whatever I see everyone else doing. People were gonna have gastric bypass. One guy did not do the laparoscopic. He had his stomach sliced open to have it. And I was like, whoa. But I can understand it. The desperation. I heard this weekend about the crazy. I'm right there. I don't need to tell you all my crazy, because I'm crazy. I'm crazy because why would anyone want one slice of anything? Like, I was on the phone doing a hookup with someone one time. Isn't it crazy that I only want one slice of blah, blah, blah? I said, no. The people who don't want one slice of blah, blah, blah are crazy. They're crazy, I'm not. So I know I'm crazy. So I just keep coming back with all of you who laugh and go, I got it. You know, there's some... What is that movie with Jack Black and Gwyneth Paltrow where she's really big, but he sees her as really thin? And she, like, cuts one slice. What is it?
Shallow Hal.
And she takes, like, the rest of it. I was like, that's my girl. You know, that's how I roll. So living the solution. How am I doing? 18 minutes. I'm almost at 20, Jenny. All right. Living the solution, what do I do every day? I do a lot of what I have always done. And so I'll say my weakness is probably the phone. I don't make a whole lot of phone calls, but I still write down my food. I measure my food. I weigh myself. I stay honest to the best of my ability. And I have so appreciated the honesty in here because it helps me go, am I being honest about that? When I hear you guys talk, your sharing has been very deep, and I appreciate that. And that comes from a real trust. I don't do that very easily. I'm like, listen to you all going, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know. That I appreciate the real depth of your sharing. I have a morning routine. I have prayer and meditation, although I will say I have realized I have done a lot more meditation and not as much praying, and that's been an eye-opening thing. Somehow I don't think I need to pray. And I will, and I do, and I stay close to others to the best that I can, to the best of my ability. It's not in my nature to. I'm not one that walks into a group and I automatically bond with everybody. Even though the people who have known me, like when Jenny met me, I already knew a lot of people, and so sometimes, like Christina, Jenny, Lisa, we'll see like a really friendly person, and I am incredibly friendly. Again, you made a good choice asking me to come. But it's not, you know, I was watching you all, watching the wonderful camaraderie, and it's not jealousy, it's just like, I realize that I just spent my whole life kind of on the outside looking in, and it just takes me a while to warm up. And sometimes you might not like what you hear when you hear me, so it's okay. And I'm also like really intense, and that's hard. Like, that's hard for me to sort of temper. I've always been one that I actually contemplated like being a nun. I'm a really big animal rights activist. I'm kind of an environmentalist, more of an animal rights person. I realized how many uncomfortable conversations I could have started last night. Like, I wanted to talk about like politics and all that. I'm like, nope, we're just doing nice, good, happy conversation. So that's hard, you know? It's just, you know, I want to talk about all these different things because I'm reading all this stuff and I want to talk about it. So those are things I appreciated that we talked about Dr. Paul's story. And if anyone hasn't read it, please read it tonight. Dr. Alcoholic Addict in the third edition, or Acceptance is the Answer in the fourth edition. Because to hear someone who was a doctor talk about himself and be so honest about himself and acceptance. And if you guys have read the story, talk about how he really thought his wife was crazy, and then somehow the doors locked on him and all the things he did, that gives me a lot of hope. So I appreciate that. And the reality is, I don't accept a lot of things. But the rest of that reality is, when I don't, I do pay the price. And I'm aware of that. I had a friend tell me that in step 6, we learn you can do whatever you want as long as you're willing to live with the consequences. And that's the truth. And I struggle with that. I'm not when this is the world is exactly how it should be. I don't buy into that, but I pay the price for that. I pay the price, which is why I pray, which is why I work the steps, which is why I have a sponsor who makes sure she keeps me on track, really to the best she can. God bless her. And why I sponsor people, and I try to do my best to keep them on track to the best of my ability when I hear them going off the rails. So have you read this? How's the morning routine going? How are the phone calls? How's the meditation? Because oftentimes I have people who are really good at going to meetings, not always great at doing the internal stuff. And I have to balance that too. So those are things that I need to make sure that I bring, and things that I've learned, and things that I can give to the people I sponsor. So I think for me, for this is phase one. That's all I have, so I'm going to...